So then 89 happens, conjunction in Capricorn, Taylor Swift is born, and the fall of the Berlin Wall.
Totally related.
Totally related. Yeah. Welcome to Orbitals, an astrology podcast. I'm your host, William Holloway, and today's show is all about the history of the Saturn-Neptune conjunction. With me to discuss and dissect is my friend, astrologer, the Zine Witch. Welcome back.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here and to play the game at the very end once more. Ah, thank you for having me.
Yay, thanks for being here. You were the first guest on
Yeah.
the podcast a whole 7 episodes ago.
So we're at the Saturn square now.
Yeah, exactly. You are also now the first reoccurring guest. So there is that.
Yay, I hope to
Wow.
be back many times. I
Exactly.
love talking with you. It's always such a joy when you can nerd out about the same stuff with someone who actually wants to listen.
Yes. Oh my God, I agree. Awesome. Cool. Well, this one's a really exciting one. And we were just talking about off camera that there's just so much to this Saturn-Neptune conjunction in the history of it. I mean, you can just go so deep. And I did. I kept trying to like limit myself. I'm like, all right, we're only going to go back so far. And I just kept finding trends that kept taking me down other rabbit holes and other rabbit holes. So, like, you're probably going to hear me say, we could do a whole podcast about this thing right here, like many times, because there's just a lot of rabbit holes. I see now why the astrology podcast did an 8-hour episode on the Saturn Neptune conjunction in history, which I don't know if you listen to any of that.
I respect Chris Brennan and his game so hard because I am neurodivergent, and if you give me a platform, I will talk forever, but I do not have 8 hours to listen to that entire episode. So while I respect the work, I am just exhausted.
I hear you. I'll say this. I didn't want to listen to it because I didn't want to feel influenced by. I mean, the thing
Yeah,
is that we're
I get
really,
that too.
you know, like you don't
You
want
want to
to,
do your own thing. You
you
want to
want to do
see your
your own
own
thing.
stuff. Yeah.
So I thought let's start with just a quick little definition of Saturn Neptune. Saturn is the planet of structure, discipline, restriction. Saturn is the planet that helps us grow up, basically. We become stronger
Yeah.
from Saturn, I think.
I always say it's Red Foreman, but the 70s show. People get real scared of Saturn because they hear authority figure, they hear government, they hear, buckling up your bootstraps or whatever they say, But I always
Yeah.
think of it as like Red Foreman because he loves his kid. Like he loves his kid, but he is going to put his foot up his kid's butt if he doesn't do what he's supposed to. So
Yeah.
it's kind of like, yeah, Saturn is kind of like I have Saturn in my third house, and my sister is always like, you have to think about your future. Like, don't buy a piano. Like, what are you doing? She's the Saturn person in my life. So Saturn is form. It gives form to things.
Yeah.
And so one of the things that I think is like really easy for people to understand if we're trying to understand the concept of Saturn Neptune, imagine a glass of water. Saturn is the cup, it's the glass, it's the structure that is holding the water, and Neptune is the water.
Yes. Oh, I love that. Okay.
Because it's formless. Neptune is formless, Saturn is
Yes.
form, and Neptune is formless. So it rules things like the arts or music or emotion, empathy, sacrifice, things that are we don't necessarily see, but we know to be true because we feel them, right?
Yeah. I always like the thing that Liz Green said about Neptune and the quest for redemption.
Oh, yeah.
And she taught says Neptune portrays our longing for Eden. This longing renders the individual's ego boundaries porous, and the ocean of the collective psyche seeps in. Through Neptune, we seek paradise lost and paradise to be one day regained.
Yes, I love that. She also, in the book that I think you're quoting, the Neptune book that. By the way, go out and get that if you are new to astrology. It'll blow your mind. But she
Yeah.
talks about how in the beginning, I remember she talked about how water is kind of the birth. It's the beginning of all things. Like even when we're in our mother's stomachs, when we're, before we're even born, we're in water, right? Like, so water is to be immersed in things, like and water is kind of like at the root of all things. So it rules things that are unconscious, dreams, illusions, spiritual currents, fantasy, fluidity.
Fluidity, yeah,
My
right.
mom always had I didn't really get to know my mom very well, but because she passed when I was a little girl, but like my mom had she would always say she had a sixth sense. Like she always just kind of knew things was going to happen. She didn't have like an explanation for this, and she had her Mercury conjunct Neptune, so she was able to sense these things. So generally, like when we're sensing things, but we don't know where they're coming in, that's like a Neptune transit or having Neptune in your chart,
Yeah, absolutely. Neptune in our chart can mean anything from having that kind of intuition, psychic dreams, being into magic, astrology, the occult. If you have maybe a poorly aspected Neptune, there can be like anxiety, a lot of
Oh, yeah.
fear. So it really runs the gamut of these kind of extremes.
Yeah, I think that that's an important thing to really point out, especially on this podcast, to people who are probably listening because they want some help, they want some guidance as to what is happening. And Neptune really is anxiety because it's all the ways in which we imagine things that could potentially happen that might not happen at all. And so whenever there's a Neptune transit, I always see a lot of like propaganda. I see a lot of worry. I see like the last time we had a heavy Neptune transit, a friend of ours was really concerned about martial law because martial law was like being talked about again with Trump or whatever. And I was like, I don't think we have anything to worry about, but like, it can cause a lot of dysregulation. So I always say there's like a high octave and then like a low octave of everything in astrology. And I think that the low octave would be anxiety and that kind of delusionment or even like, addiction, escapism, things like that are Neptune. However, the higher octave, which we can always, we have a choice. And that's something we really want to nail home today, which is like, you have agency, like you have a choice. Like these are choices that we can consciously make. And so the higher octave, if you're struggling with anxiety, if you're struggling with the what ifs, is to obviously, ground yourself in Neptunian things. Go take a walk by a beautiful body of water that's very grounding. I love looking, for me, I live by a lake and I always like to, I mean, it's not the ocean, so we don't have like the tides, but it has, lakes have their own rhythm. And I do notice a correlation between mood in the collective and the water. So it's always like a nice little grounding affirmation that this too shall pass, whatever it might be. And so you could take a bath, you can drink a cup of delicious tea. There are ways to ground yourself in Neptune that are healthy, that are higher octaves. So if you're feeling the Neptunian anxiety, guys, maybe this is a time to tune into like some herbs like skullcap or chamomile that can be really calming.
Yeah, I love that.
Yoga is also another great way to play with Neptune and Saturn. Yoga is kind of like a Saturn Neptune idea, right? It's a little bit spiritual, a little bit formless, but also you have to have a lot of form. So I'm almost imagining like a lazy flow kind of yoga class when I think about Saturn, Neptune,
The Saturn Neptune conjunction happens every 35 to 36 years. I'm just going to list off some of the things that happened during the last six conjunctions, and you kind of will see a theme. So in 1773, during a conjunction in Virgo, we had the Boston Tea Party that eventually led to the United States becoming independent. Then the next one, 1809, during the conjunction in Sagittarius, uprisings erupted in several Spanish colonies in South America, marking the beginning of the Spanish-American Wars of Independence, which went on for 20 years.
Yeah, and didn't they there was something that happened as a result, like people who men who were without jobs, they were required to go to war. So they kind of took advantage of like the disabled population during that time.
Oh, that's a very good point. That fits in as
So
well.
yeah, that also kind of is something to really think about because a lot of the things that are unfortunately being fear-mongered right now by our government in the United States stem from, autistic people can't get jobs. We'll never what did well, I don't know. I don't even want to repeat the jibber jabber of RFK.
Yeah, that one, yeah, I hear that. 1846, during the conjunction in Aquarius, we saw the arrival of Marxism. In 1882, during the conjunction in Taurus, we saw the birth of the European socialist parties.
Isn't this about the time Karl Marx passed away too? Or am I wrong?
Yes.
That was a time where people were probably really questioning meaning, I would imagine, and or rethinking things, or we saw a lot of movements around spirituality that particularly like challenged traditional values of like materialism around that time. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Karl Marx did die in 1883. So right around when the conjunction happened in Taurus in 1883. Then we had 1917, Russian Revolution. Then this is where there's a lot more meat and things that we're going to discuss when we get into the conjunction that happened in 52, 53, and then 89. The one in 52, 53, we saw the death of Stalin. And communism came out of isolation. Also, side note, Putin was born right when Stalin died, right around when Stalin died. So that's
Of
kind of
course.
interesting, right?
And that's McCarthyism, like the height of that.
Yep, McCarthyism
You also
and
see like the Red Scare and things like that.
yeah.
Am I right around the timing? There's a really great podcast called You Must Remember This, which is based on the first century of Hollywood film. If you're like a film person, it's really great. Karina Longworth is the host. I love her voice. It's very soothing. And she did a whole series of this and on the Red Scare and McCarthyism. It's so good. Guys, go binge that.
Okay, I want to check that out. That sounds great.
I feel like you'll love it. She's amazing, very Gemini.
Okay, cool. Another kind of side thing, 52, 53. I mean, televisions were invented in the 40s, but people didn't really start buying televisions until the beginning of the 50s. And what kind of pushed a lot of people in that 52, 53 time was the first televised presidential campaign. And first time anybody, so that was a huge thing that got everyone to buy televisions. And then you also had the first international television event, which was the coronation of Queen Elizabeth. And that's
That was in
fascinating.
June, right? Like that was the summer.
Yeah.
I recently actually watched a documentary on this, so
Oh, I
yeah.
might have watched that one. It's very fascinating. I mean,
Was something on the History Channel because
okay.
I am obsessed with like those little like on demand. You can watch all the like different videos on demand. Yeah, I was like binging a bunch of them on the Royals recently.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, the thing I was there, I think there's also like this is could be a whole another episode. There's a whole thread of Saturn Neptune conjunctions related to the royal family. So
Oh,
I
I'm
think.
sure that that's probably
Yeah.
very epic.
But yeah, it's interesting to think that this thing that had been going on for hundreds and hundreds of years, but only certain people were ever allowed to see it, then all of a sudden the whole world gets to see it. There's like a tie between like these conjunctions and the power of visibility.
Definitely. I think that is really interesting. I mean, and also television was a sense of like awareness too. We take for granted in this environment like how much we get access to that people didn't have access to. So
Yeah.
like for example, it was like a big deal when home video recording became more mainstream because that of course led to like Rodney King and like everybody seeing what people of color had known for ages, which is that the police are brutal, and they're dangerous towards marginalized people. And so it became this like public awareness moment, which, erupted, of course, in riots and things like that. So
The
there's
power of
usually like,
visibility.
yeah, so with visibility comes action. And I think that's an important thing to talk about with Saturn Neptune, especially being in Aries, where it's like there's disruption, when people are able to break through the walls of things and see into places they've never seen before, it gives them a newfound consciousness, awareness, and with that comes disruption. I think that that's super important. It's super important, especially right now in the political climate that we are in the United States, because we need less talk, we need more action. And I think that that's partially, unfortunately, something that Trump, you know, preyed upon. I mean, it's the same reason we made a martyr out of someone like Luigi. It's because I think if most Americans were like honest with themselves, they want someone to come in and do something. It's the difference between what they want done and how they want done it, which is where we disconnect. But I think most people are at the point right now where they're like, fuck this. We need someone to come in and just fucking tear shit up and be a disruptor. Like, that is something we all can agree on, right?
Yeah, I think you're
That's
right.
That's why people supposedly like Trump, because they think he is a disruptor.
That's a very good point. And he surely is a disruptor. Not my kind, but
no, not
somebody's.
At all. But I mean, it's that, and there are these two archetypes, which I think are really interesting, because neither one are rule followers. Either both ones want to be a martyr for something. Like, one is for the greater good, and one of them is for disruption's sake.
Yep. Bingo. So then 89 happens, conjunction in Capricorn, Taylor Swift is born, and the fall of the Berlin Wall.
Totally related.
Totally related. Yeah.
That is kind of the time that, like, you know, even just like in the United States within like music, whatever, I came from punk rock. So I look at things through like the underground, because the underground will always eventually become the mainstream because it's a reaction to the mainstream. So like that was a time that was really famous, because we had the mid 80s, which was, of course, the rise of straight edge. And, you know, straight edge was originally like a rebellion against corporate America, right? Like, if we are drinking and we're smoking cigarettes and we're hurting ourselves, then how can we be good patrons of this country to fight for what is right, right? So that was the whole idea of Yom Kippur. But then in 89, when you have the conjunction in Capricorn, you see, you know, the move towards like more like posi core and hardcore becomes more spiritual. So you have like, I think Inside Out is a band. If you guys aren't familiar with Inside Out, their singer, Zach De La Rocca, would go on to form Rage Against the Machine like a year or two later. But his original hardcore band, the album was called No Spiritual Surrender. And so you saw like a lot of Krishna core around that time. That's like around the time the Cro-Mags became Krishnas. And, you know, there was a lot of that kind of going on. So people were looking for meaning.
Yeah.
It's an interesting year, because I get a lot of clients who are born around that time. And of course, we have Uranus in the picture at that point too, which makes it slightly a little bit different. So they're, you know, people who are born in 1989, they often have like an intuitive ability of technology. Like, these are people who like pick up a guitar and they just like kind of know how to play, or they like teach themselves. They're like, you know, I always think about Taylor Swift, how she wanted to play, you know, guitar, and her teacher was like kind of a dickhead to her and was like, you're not going to be able to learn this, blah, 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 blah. And like, was kind of misogynistic about it, frankly. And then she, you know, picked it up so easily. Now she's like the songwriter she is today. So I feel like she's like the most, you know, out there example of somebody who's actually able to like live their dreams and has like this intuitive ability to understand, you know, things that are electronic, technology, music, things like that. 89 is an interesting time just in general for film, which is a Neptune is the film industry. It is our perception of things, and we learn and we see things through film. It's an interesting time for the music industry. You do see these spiritual themes start to like kind of creep in, like Madonna's Like a Prayer, right? But what I think is really interesting about films that came out around this time, or the where we were in like a consciousness sense, now that we could like see things, right? And things were accessible, we were starting to have these really interesting dialogues on like what that actually means, and what ethics and consent and all of these, like, I think of like a film like Sex, Lies, and Videotape came out around that time, right?
Yeah.
And so it brings up all these like big questions. Also, like, you know, like when Harry met Sally's, you have all of these conversations about, well, women want this in relationships and men want this in
Can men
relationships.
and
And
women be friends?
can they be friends? What is real? What is not real? The orgasm scene, right? Like,
Right.
you know, like all of that.
Yeah.
Like, and so what I think is really interesting around this time is that, like, now that the consciousness has been raised, we have the tools, we have, you know, film, we have music, we have all these like things that are changing. Like, where are, like, how do we create new forms and boundaries on these things? I think is kind of a lot of what that dialogue was asking in many ways. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, because Saturn is boundaries, but Neptune is boundaryless. So it's like, where between these two realms do certain things lie? You know, and we've tried to figure that out culturally, I think, and that's what we do as a culture in America. We try to figure that out through art, you know, and whether that's music and asking the big questions, or you
What
know,
are the
even with the
rules?
Madonna video, like that got banned
Yeah.
because you
Yeah.
know, she was crossing a boundary, you know, like with you can't. You first of all, you can't make Jesus black. What the hell is that? Like, I'm
Right.
pretty sure that
Blasphemous.
Jesus, I'm pretty sure Jesus was a brown man. Like, I'm
Yeah.
pretty sure.
Yeah. Again, whenever anyone tries to speak truth to power and they get, crucified for it, literally, right?
Yes. And one of the other things that I kind of wanted to talk about in the same nugget, just because they're tied together, is I use a system called Human Design, and Human Design was like actually channeled by the person who created it around this time. And so this is actually when it was transfused into the mainstream. Madonna is what they call a 5-1 generator in Human Design. 5-1s are here to be the heretic. They are literally
Ooh.
here to kind of be that person in the room that's like kind of blasphemous, or you know, whatever is common knowledge, what is the mainstream. The heretic in the room is usually going to have like a different opinion, and they're going to try to corrupt that in some way to kind of open a door that potentially your way could not be the way for everyone.
Oh, absolutely. That's really good. I don't really know much about human design, but every time I hear anything about it, I'm like, oh, that makes sense. That's, yeah, okay.
It's essentially, it uses astrology, but it also uses like the I Ching, it uses Kabbalah, it uses, you know, the Tree of Life from Kabbalah. It draws from many different things and quantum physics, all of that. And it kind of just makes this cesspool of all the archetype work.
I love that. That's awesome.
One other thing, William, that I think is really interesting is that album in general. That album's phenomenal. And
Yes.
it does, there's the song "Oh Father," and I think about
Yes.
Saturn is the father figure, right? And Neptune is like how we see them, how we interpret them, our perception of them. And again, I apologize, I'm a bit of a Madonna stan.
I
But
am
you know,
too.
I So yeah, like Madonna has had a very complicated relationship with her father, you know, and that obviously, especially around that time, was being seen. You could easily see that played out in her love life, right? This is about like when she was with
She was ending
who
her
shall not be
relationship with
named. Who?
Sean.
Yes. Yes, and that was very violent, and it didn't end well, and
Yeah.
all of the things. But you know, she you see also see her kind of speaking to these archetypes and like really like understanding like the boundaries of relationship, like what she learned as a child from her own parental dynamics, like you know, the song "Live to Tell," for example, is a great example of that. Like, that's my favorite Madonna song. It like
Yeah.
just drives the nail home, and because it's one of the few that Madonna actually wrote herself, it, like I can't think about that song without wanting to cry. It's just such an intense song. But yeah, she wrote that about her father. You know, her father cheated on her mother while her mother was dying of cancer. And, you know, she just like a man can tell a thousand lies. That feels very Saturn Neptune, you
Oh,
know?
yeah. Ooh. That's a
So I
perfect.
think there's also like, you know, understanding like that's a theme too. Like, like the authority figures in your life, they might not be as they present themselves to be. There might be like some sort of, revealing act of having to try to kind of understand that, there's we might idealize these types of people in our lives. A lot of people are certainly doing that with Trump right now. They're putting him on this like invisible pedestal that he doesn't really deserve to be on. So I guess one of the things that I'm hopeful for is maybe like the knocking off of the pedestal, because I think that this conjunction is a great time for art that like a prayer. Also, what else? Pretty Hate Machine came out around this time. And so there's this also this like
Nirvana's first album.
that yeah, Bleach came out around this time as well. And that's a whole other story that you could talk about too, because Nirvana's Bleach, the photo on the cover was taken by Tracy Mirander, who of course was Kurt Cobain's girlfriend at the time, and it was taken in a place called Recco Muse. And Recco Muse was this art gallery that was started by Tammy Rae Carlin and Kathleen Hanna and Toby Vail and a lot of the Riot Girls from the Olympia scene. But it was ideally, and it's so Saturn Neptune too, it really it was these women who had been banned by the college for expressing their feminist art, because it was of a sexual tone and because it challenged the societal, structural, patriarchal Saturn norms. And so they created this particular gallery in an effort to wreck their women's place as muses and to claim their place in the art world.
That's a perfect manifestation of Saturn Neptune right there.
And that's like the picture on the cover of the Bleach album. So when people think about Nirvana and this band that like changed the world or whatever, they need to recognize that that picture was taken in a feminist collective by a band that had feminist ideals.
Yes, love that. So many bands and artists put out their seminal work in 1989. You also had a lot of artists making comebacks in 1989. The B-52s,
Oh,
Bonnie
yeah.
Raitt,
The Cure.
The Cure, Tom Petty,
Janet Jackson's Rhythm Nation.
Janet
Oh my God.
Jackson's Rhythm Nation. Yes,
Can we talk about that for a second? Because I
yes,
think that is very
please.
Saturn Neptune. All right, guys, I
Yes.
am the way you love Madonna is me and Miss Janet.
That was my first concert, was Janet Jackson.
Concert, William, with Janet Jackson. Oh my God, we have to talk about this off air. But like, wow. Wow. Great minds. Yeah, I
Yay.
saw Janet Jackson. Well, my first like arena size concert. Like I'd been to like small things, but like my first real arena concert was Janet Jackson. But it was a
Yeah.
little bit later. It was 1993. It
That's what
was
I, me too.
the oh
The
my
Janet, one, right? Yeah, the
God.
Janet
Yeah,
tour.
and MC Light opened.
I don't remember that. Well, because if I
Okay,
remember
I was in
correctly, I think
Philly,
we
so I
got
might
there a
have had a
little
different
late.
opener.
Yeah, and I
But
think we
yeah,
got
I
there a
went to
little
that.
late, so. Did she
It's
run
okay. It's
off
okay.
crying during again?
Yes. That, oh my God. And that we had such, and then I learned that like she probably does that with every concert,
Everyone.
but like
She did.
still, it was very, it had a huge impact on me. I won
Me
the
too.
talent show that year singing again,
Aww.
which is kind of a little inappropriate for a child to be singing, but whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, I learned the dance to If, me and my friends, and we did it for my mom and her friends. We were like, we're gonna you this
Wow.
we totally did the dun, da, 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 and I don't know. There was a whole lot of stuff with the crotch and like pointing to the crotch. I just
Oh
remember
yeah.
that.
Well, she at the If dance, I think, has like some crotch moves like her bro.
Anyway.
I love the If dance. I will I it oh, thank God there was not videotape in my house to record me trying to do the If dance, because it would be on the internet. So Janet Jackson's Rhythm Nation was extremely important in the sense that she was trying to, I mean, first of all, it's a concept album, which feels very Neptunian, but she was trying to reconstruct forms, very Saturn, through music, Neptune, and imagery to break down li barrier lines in of race and really had, it was like a mission statement for her. And even if you think about like the clothing that she chose on that particular tour and on that cover, it's all very militarized. It's very empowering, like like really kind of pulling out her Scorpio rising there. You know, she just looks tough as nails.
Yes.
Yeah, it was a conscious kind of manifesto to America and what she hoped. I mean, that's kind of what Janet was as well with New Agenda, but I think that was like a real breaking point for her in terms of like she's not just an artist and she's a great sensual artist and but like also there's a consciousness to her music and I think that that was really her finding her voice in that way. So I really and also just like the diversity on that album. There's like a lot of jazz. There's a lot of swing. There's, you know, it's there's a lot of politically kind of charged, drawn out, you know, kind of I don't know what you call them. Like I don't want to say manifesto, but like, you know, just like speaking parts with music, you know, that she's kind of famous for. It's yeah. Anyway, yeah. That's a big one. So it was a really political time for music in a way, you know. Pretty Hate Machine is also a very political record. You know, Head Like a Hole is obviously the most famous, but you know, even just songs like Ring Finger, he's like Trent Reznor's like battling with, you know, being in what sounds like a narcissistic relationship and patriarchal values and not being able to live up to that, you know, kind of stuff. Yeah, so there's a lot there to really unpack. You also have like Paul's Boutique by the Beastie Boys that came out around this time. And again, like that's kind of another like it feels like the music from this era feels like it's kind of in this weird liminal space between where we're gonna go in the 90s and like what we're trying to invent. Paul's Boutique is like kind of like the best example of that, using all the different samples and styles of music. Like you can also see like the Beastie Boys at this time kind of moving away from that bratty, misogynistic kind of
Social
what
con
is it
becoming more socially
they wrote out
conscious.
on like a big pianist or something on their tour or whatever. And you know, this is like a time where they're becoming like more conscious. They want more women at their shows. They kind of don't want to be that style of the Beastie Boys anymore. And they would go on to, you know, do that in the 90s, but this is like a critical point.
The Pixies' Doolittle came out.
Oh yes, that's another one. That's like where you see like the hard and the soft, you know, the slow and the fast that of course Nirvana would make huge and then that would become a thing.
Yes, totally.
But that
And
was a Pixies thing.
that was a Pixies thing. But that it was a 90s thing too, right? Like it became
Yeah,
a
I mean
real
that became a 90s thing because Nirvana ripped off the Pixies, which I think everyone knows that's not like a controversial thing to say.
I don't think that's controversial. Kurt Cobain would say it himself, I'm sure.
Absolutely, he would.
In the 80s, rock was really fluffy and kind of sanitized. Even rap was kind of surfacey and
Yeah, the
fluffy, not
Indigo
about any.
Girls. You have like literally like more conscious music coming out in general.
Not just rock, but like all of it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's such a shift. You really can see the shift, right, from 80s to 90s. And I really feel like it happened with this conjunction.
100%. And I think like something we were talking about off air is that like in general, even just if like music wasn't like not I'm not even talking about albums that were coming out, like we are talking about that right now specifically, but like the 1989, if you look up 1989 as a music historian, like this is a time where many bands were beginning to form that would go on to change the next decade of music. You have like the Cranberries form this year. They might not have put out a record this year, but this is when they got together. This is where Hole gets together. Like Courtney Love puts that note in Flipside where she's like, my influences are Sonic Youth, Fleetwood Mac, and Big Black, you know, and she meets Eric Erlandson, you know, and you know, so one thing I want to drive home to the audience who is listening, you know, if and you don't have maybe you've always wanted to start a band and you're like 45 years old and you're like, you know, like I'm too old. No, first of all, you're not. And if you have something to say, you're never too old. But this is a magical time to find collaboration with people. Maybe you're not putting out the arts that's going to change the world this year, but pay attention to what is forming, either in your personal practice or in terms of who you're connecting with, because I think that this was a powerful time for things to kind of come together that would go on. Like what we're seeing take root, I want to just kind of make this clear. What we're seeing take root this year isn't necessarily as important as to where it's going to take us in the future. So pay attention because, people who have great pattern recognition, astrologers, tarot readers, whoever, pay attention to these patterns because they're going to
Yeah.
be, we're setting a stage for a new decade.
We certainly are. So, what about some other things
I think
in
it's important to talk about Medicaid and Medicare because that was
Yes.
formed with the conjunction of Uranus and Pluto. And with that trine, like happening right now, obviously these are things that are at stake right now. And so Saturn, Neptune, like a delusional government, I think this is an important time for us to really come together and try to make real change. Because I think that we underestimate the power we have. And I think that that's something that is really important. So we're not victims. Neptune will
Right.
convince you you're a victim. And we're not. We
We're
have
not.
power. So I think like when it comes to the things that we get nervous about the future, things like that, I just want to say we have more power than we think we do. And that
We
power is
do.
by coming together.
The power is about coming together and doing the work, right?
Yes.
Like we've said before with Saturn is like Saturn loves to give gifts and make things happen and all of the great things. It just wants you to do the hard work. You have to go through it. You can't cheat.
You gotta feel your feelings. That's I
You
think
gotta,
that's a big
yeah.
thing. So I think that's kind of like what's at the root of everything. Like
Yeah.
I'm like patriarchy. Like the way to dismantle that, feel your feelings, but feel them in an emotionally mature way. Don't, punch the wall, slam the door. Feel your feelings and talk about it. Like, and if it's uncomfortable to talk about, find like a safe person in your life, your wife, your mother, your friend, and have these conversations. This is how we do the work. This is how
Yeah.
we begin to do the hard work that actually does make the change.
It's also important to know that there are so many different ways to get involved with change than there ever were before. And everyone has a different gift. Everyone has a different contribution. And you might not know what that is yet, but it's there, right? Like we got to find it.
Get an astrology reading, that'll tell you.
Exactly. Are we ready to play the Wheel of Fate?
Yeah, I'm so excited. Let's do it.
All right.
Gemini season, baby.
Gemini season. All right, let me pull it up. For anyone listening who doesn't know, it's pretty simple. I spin a wheel that lands on a random planet, and then I spin another wheel that lands on a random sign, and we just riff on it for a few minutes. Here we go. All right. Oh. Sun.
We have the sun.
We have the sun in
Ooh.
Ooh.
Big money, no whammies. Ooh, Sagittarius.
Sagittarius, Sun in Sagittarius.
My favorite sign, to be honest. I love, like, all my best friends have always been Sagittarius.
I love a Sagittarius.
I think that people who have a, they're the lyricists. Like, these are lyrics people. Like, these are people that know how to tell a good story. Like, people love Taylor Swift because she's a great storyteller, right? Like, you're kind of like listening to her for the tea. And, but also
Right.
the insight, right?
And her long-windedness, that's another
Oh, yeah, that's
Sagittarius.
definitely part of it too.
I love that, but we love that though.
Yeah.
And it's also the opposite sign of Gemini. So we're having a Gemini new moon. So there's a relationship with Gemini and Sagittarius.
Yeah. I love, okay, so I look at I look at astrology a little bit differently than some of my peers. One of the things I like to think about is different levels of development, right? And so I kind of look at sometimes like each sign. It's mastered the stage before it. So Sagittarius has mastered the Scorpio stage, right? Like if you think about it like that. And so with a lot of people who have a Sagittarius sun, like they're not really bullshit people. Like they like because they've already dealt with the power struggles. They've already dealt with the control stuff. And now what they want most is freedom and independence and to just do their own thing and be free to do their own thing. So one of the reasons I think Sag gets, kind of a bad rap sometimes is because, it just doesn't play into the games. Like, of I mean, it's definitely down for a good time. It's a Sagittarius, but it's not going to do the power games. It's
Yeah,
so I
freedom
often
is
think about
very
Sag like
important.
that. Like it's mastered the power struggle and now it's here to grow.
Totally. And freedom is super important. Freedom to grow. Some famous Sagittarius suns. We've got Bette Midler, Tina Turner, Miley
Love Tina.
Cyrus. I know, me, I love
And
Tina.
she's also very spiritual. That's like the other side of yeah, she was a chanter. If you ever want to like listen to her chants on YouTube, they're beautiful. She was a Buddhist, So she was
Yeah,
looking for meaning.
totally. I mean, and then in line with that, we've also got Jim Morrison and Jimi Hendrix,
Of course. Also
right?
very like, those are very like philosophical men, they had a search for meaning in this lifetime for sure.
Yep. Steven Spielberg, Jane Fonda. I
Oh, I love
mean,
her, Jane
yeah, me
Fonda.
too.
And she's the quintessential Sag, very sassy, speaks her mind, isn't afraid to be very fiery even at her age. She just hasn't stopped. And one of the reasons I love my Sagittarius friends is because I don't have to explain a lot of things to them. They just sort of get it. Sagittarians tend to have like a good feel for society and culture, and they sort of just kind of that stuff kind of clicks to them. They're really open and curious, kind of like the Gemini. Like the Gemini is very curious, but Sag one's more meaning. Sag is more like, yeah, I'll come to your game, but what does it all mean? Like and so they're like the best person to have like a kind of like a stoned, deep, weedy talk with, right?
And they're
Because
very
you can,
accepting, I think. That's what they're
yes.
accepting of life's weirdness and quirks, and they
They're
love.
funny.
They're funny. They want to hear about your wild weekend that you had, or like the weird day. They
They're
want
not
to hear
going to be
all the
very
details.
judgmental of you. Like
Right.
they're fun. And this is why I gravitate towards Sag suns. I love you. If you're out there and you're a Sag sun and you want to be my friend, let's do it.
Oh, I love that.
Aquarius
Well,
and Sag, we tend to get along.
yeah, I love it. Well, I feel like that's a good place to end that.
Thank
So,
you for having me.
thanks for being here. So,
Yes.
B, what do you've got? What do you have going on? Is there anything you'd like to plug?
I got a
Anything?
lot of stuff going on, so
All
thank
right.
you. I actually, okay, so I just finished my Aspects course, which is over 200 videos that you can watch on your own time. I like to learn. I call myself an autodidact. I like kind of learn best on my own, and so if that's your learning style, please come over to Astro School, and you'll get access to this entire course. It's over 200 videos. You'll also get access to my ongoing transits course, my composite chart course, and my synastry course, which is about like 60 videos. So it's good. We've had William on many
Yeah,
times. You can
always a
visit with
blast.
us. Yeah. And then I'm also booking readings right now for July, and I'm going to start one-on-one mentorship soon. So yeah, find me on Astro School, patreon.com/burnblack, and find me on Instagram at the Zine Witch. And yeah, book a reading. I love working especially with neurodivergent people. We have a lot of workshops so over there on, burnout recovery and things like that that are good for people who are neurodivergent.
Amazing. I love all of that. I love the work you do. I love getting to chat with you. This is always fun. And you will definitely be back very soon. We will always have something to discuss.
Yay! Well, thank you for
Yay.
having me.
Oh, thanks for
It's
being
wonderful
here.
being on Arbitals. Everyone, have a great night.
Yay.